The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. My God, this was the most amazing weekend of news I've ever seen. What a story, the story of Elon and Ashley. I love tweeting about it. I was on vacation from the show, but I was sharing my views in writing. What a story that sums up the state of dating these days. It's amazing what happened, and I was reading about this story. Ashley Sinclair, basically, to be inseminated by Elon Musk, he paid for an apartment for her. He maintained her totally enclosed, no romance, just a breeder in San Francisco in a like $40,000 a month apartment. You gotta love Elon. Even I'm too romantic and sensitive to do this. Like, even I, my girlfriend is like, hey, it turns out you're not a misogynist. Turns out you're a romantic. And it's like, oh yeah, but Elon, he doesn't want any of this. He's gonna put you in a box and you can't get out because you're gonna be seen. And so you're in a box and you're just waiting for the Elon insemination on the everyday. This is what Ashley Sinclair did. Oh my God. What a story. What a story that mixes jewelry, spies, media, censorship, Twitter, and ultimately Elon's breeding career, which we will talk about tonight. Blanket says Herd Grok 3 will be released tomorrow. That would be exciting. If it is released tomorrow, I will definitely run some tests on it. I'd like to talk math. I'd like to test their understanding of the extinction of humanity. Talking about the extinction of humanity, the revolutionary phenotype, major price drop. I have ordered a major price drop. $9.99 was the price of the digital version ebook. I'm putting it down to $7.99, and the paperback will drop from $22.99 to $14.99. Now, my book has always been a highly prized book. I mean, you don't have much books, certainly not of that thickness. You don't have much small books like this that are sold $22.99. But my thinking about this was, first, it's a major book. And still, you know, people are very satisfied by it. 4.6 stars on Amazon. There are hundreds of comments. There are tens of thousands of people who have read it. It's an important book. And at the same time, I wanted to put the price high enough that I could make a living from it. And thanks to you guys who have purchased it at the full price that I gave in the first 6 years of the book, I was able to make a living from it and have a house for my family and everything. So that is I am extremely thankful. It is quite a miracle on a self-published book to be able to make a living from it. Now I'm putting it to $14.99, which is more a reasonable price for that kind of book. It's the general price that you'll see. And in fact, you'll see many of these small books at $9.99, $12.99. I'm putting it at $14.99, maybe for the next 6 years. And the goal of this is to expand to a cheaper audience that may have seen the price at $22.99 and said, I'm not taking this. But at $14.99, they would consider it. So the idea is broaden the audience, broaden the readership. And if there are fans in the audience who would like to help spread the book, you can go on Goodreads. Because I have 4.6 stars on Amazon, but I have only 3.9 stars on Goodreads. I would like to see that average propped up. So if you are a Goodreads audience member, go to your account and review The Revolutionary Phenotype with a positive review. That will help the book spread to larger audiences in combination with this price drop. Man, Ashley Sinclair, you look at her on the picture that I used on this picture that I used to illustrate her on the thumbnail. Isn't it fascinating? She's headed toward the camera like, I'm gonna get your sperm, Elon Musk. Today I will get Elon Musk's sperm. You know how the woman says this, the real estate agent in American Beauty? I will sell this house today! Apparently, Ashley Sinclair had been thinking about getting Elon Musk's sperm for 5 years, according to a revelation by Milo. Now, she had gotten Elon Musk's sperm, and it had happened at a time where I totally predicted this. Absolutely straight on the money. You know, there was one day the news items were Elon Musk goes to Auschwitz, and I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Every Elon Musk behavior up to that point, I can explain by his engineering mind, his scientific curiosity, or his desire to inseminate. But that day when he went to Auschwitz and started saying, oh yeah, you know, I'm on Team Jew. I've always been on Team Jew. I'm surprised that people call me an anti-Semite because it seems to me that I'm on Team Jew. And I was like, this I cannot explain with the usual facts. Something happened. And look at me predicting what was actually happening. I have a hard time thinking. Because people were telling me, Jeff, it's just money. He's going to Auschwitz because money. He's causing with the ADL because money. He's banning the Groypers because money. I have a hard time thinking that it's just money. Elon is a man driven by two things, scientific curiosity and vaginal penetration. And I think we're going to learn something. I believe that Elon might have a Jewish baby right now, growing into a pregnant Jewish woman. Something like this must have happened, because when they start doing these trips to Israel, I have a hard time. And so there you go. This was a prediction I made in January 2024, and we now know that during January 2024, this would be the exact date at which the sperm met the egg. So maybe I predicted it as it was happening. Maybe I predicted it 10 days after it had happened. But 1 year and 5 months in advance, I have predicted that something had happened around these days to Elon that made him go to Auschwitz. And it was this. Ashley Sinclair was inseminated. Elon had found a breeder that he had encaged in a $40,000 a month San Francisco apartment as his exclusive breeding ground. Lendold Guntram says, was she a single mom before she entangled with Elon? Yes, so she has a toddler-age child. It appears that the marriage got dissolved, I would assume, by her. And then she was, it's in May 2024. in May 2023 that they started interacting a little bit on Twitter. They started exchanging messages, and she was like, "Oh yeah, I'm getting good tech support. I'm getting good tech support from Elon." Ha 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 ha. And yeah, it seems that at this time he slid into her DMs, and he's like, she's like, "Hey, I would like this option on X," and he's responsive to her. And eventually he asks her, "Can you be around San Francisco or Texas, Austin?" And because she is a writer for Babylon Bee, apparently, I'm not into the Babylon Bee. To me, it's Jewish humor. So she is a writer for Babylon Bee. And you remember the rapprochement between Elon Musk and Babylon Bee. And so this allowed her to find as an excuse to be carried around by Elon Musk to organize an interview as part of her traveling for Babylon Bee to Austin, Texas. Elon Musk would bring her also to San Francisco. They would make something. You know, there was a Babylon Bee interview eventually that got published. It was bizarre. It was bizarre this way, the way in which Elon Musk was interacting with the staff. And then you realize, okay, well, there was Ashley Sinclair probably there, and he was probably starting to eye her. So from the May 2023 first contact on in DMs, eventually she travels to San Francisco, carried by Elon's budget, and he asks her out to a restaurant, and she says yes, and then a sort of romance starts, but eventually totally ends in the sense that what was agreed upon in this restaurant was a non-romantic insemination in which she would be the exclusive sperm receptacle of Elon Musk during these months. And she would be kept during her pregnancy and during her insemination in this apartment. And this is where, holy shit, the autism of Elon Musk, even I am shocked. Like, if you're going, like, I approach women the same way Elon Musk does. It's like, I'm like, "Would you like to make an arrangement for insemination?" But then the woman discovers a tender JF, you know, a normal JF. But no, with Elon Musk, it's straight, we follow up on the deal. So, I don't know if IVF was used. It's not clear from the interview she gave. But in any case, she is locally being kept, and she is also afraid of going out. I remember in these months seeing Ashley Sinclair with a massive feather, just puffy ensembles, and I was like, "What the fuck? Did she become one of these aristocratic, wealthy old woman? What the fuck is happening with Ashley Sinclair?" She had, but now I realize probably she was hiding a pregnant belly. Same thing in the photo that she took with Lauren Sutton Dunn, where there was a little comment by the two saying it's time for the bimbo revolution. She was pregnant 4 or 5 months when she made, or maybe 3 months, when she made that comment. So a bimbo revolution. This means that Ashley Sinclair, having secured the child of Elon Musk into her belly, and back then they agreed that it would be an entirely secret story, and that forever it would be a secret that Elon Musk is the father of her child. Now, on Valentine's Day, just somehow this happens on Valentine's Day, she feels the urge to reveal publicly without pre-approval by Elon Musk. So she sends an email to Elon Musk saying, "Hey, we have a problem with Urban Legends Developing, and there's now the tabloid magazines that are investigating me. Somehow they know that we have a baby. And so they're going to reveal it, of course, they're tabloid magazines. And so she says this to an email to Elon, but she doesn't receive a response for 1 or 2 days. And she goes, I'm going to publish it without the approval of Elon. So she publishes it on Valentine's Day, which led many people to say, is this some sort of jealousy? Because in the polygamous relationship, when there's a powerful man, there's 4 women with different children from him, the attention of Elon is a currency in this war. And here, I mean, here she goes against the words of Elon, but she does so on the excuse of emergency, because, oh, well, the tabloid magazines are about to publish. Some people are questioning whether this is true at all. Some people are questioning whether she made up the... Perhaps she had her lawyer come and leak the rumor themselves so as to justify her going out there and revealing it. In any case... the secret exploded by her own feather, by her own hand. And of course, well, when you carry Elon Musk's baby and when you give birth to Elon Musk's baby, it's in your interest to publicize it yourself. So in the end, she does it on Valentine's Day. 5 months ago, I welcomed a new baby into the world. Elon Musk is the father. I have not previously disclosed this to protect our child's privacy and safety, but in recent days it has become clear that tabloid media intends to do so regardless of the harm it will cause. I intend to allow our child to grow in a normal and safe environment. For that reason, I ask that the media honor our child's privacy and refrain from invasive reporting. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, yes, it seems quite likely that he was spending time with another woman on Valentine's Day. So there you find yourself in the situation. Well, she feels ghosted, but we're talking about just a few days. And given how Elon is busy with Doge, you know, who knows whether whether he was intentionally ghosting her at all. But the fact is, Elon is seen publicly with a previous baby mama, you know, is Neuralink CEO Zinedine Zidane or something like this, whatever her name is. So he is out there with his children, like Lil X. He is out there with the lady from Neuralink talking to some prime minister or president from some country. And he is there with all of the children, the 3 of the children that he has with her. And Shivan Zillis, yes, the 3 children that he has with Shivan Zillis. So that may have created some jealousy. That is where polygamy comes in, and the attention of the male is a currency in the polygamous family, which is why I'm against polygamy. But at the same time, I recognize the genetic interest of Elon Musk, and I know he's pursuing a rational genetic interest, but societally, I am against polygamy. So, some jealousy has been created, and this is all happening as it seems. The child is 5 months old, and she is trying to establish a contract with Elon Musk. She is trying to establish a deal of co-parenting. Now, this is super interesting because this is kind of family courts, but inverted. Inverted in the sense that in regular family courts, when a regular guy like me who's too poor goes there, I have no leverage, and so the judge can totally step over my rights, and I'm going to have no means to fight. But with the position of Elon Musk, he has already inseminated her and put her in a situation where she has to beg to get anything from him because they're not married. they're probably actually under contract that under a deal that the baby is secret, so she violated this deal already. He has plenty of arguments to say that she has already broken their deal and that she deserves nothing. And on top of it, people were telling me, JF, it's interesting that Elon Musk just moved to Texas because Texas has a cap on child support, and the cap is like $600 per month, something like this, not sure. $6,000 per month. But for Elon Musk, basically, it's an insignificant amount of money. So there is just nothing that she has over him, except that she was withholding the secret and she betrayed him already on this. So it's all interesting because we've seen these powerful wives negotiate their terms. We've seen, you know, with Baron Trump, Melania staying in New York when Trump first moved into the White House, saying, I want to renegotiate my salary as a wife of Trump because now I'm a wife of the president. I need more money. That was interesting. And apparently she got it. She got what she wanted because she stayed, and she's still there promoting Trump and standing by Trump. So Ashley St. Clair is in a slightly different situation where she was basically inseminated as a baby carrier in a way that there was no plan for this to ever become public, and now it's public. And now what pushed a crisis on X was that following Ashley St. Clair's public revelation, Milo revealed that Ashley St. Clair plotted for half a decade to ensnare Elon Musk. Someone was saying to her, he's got a kid with a woman already, so it seems unlikely to work out. But she was arguing back. She was saying, well, he actually has 7 kids and goes through woman pretty fast. So Ashley St. Clair, as an early adult, 5 years ago, she may have been 21 to 24. She's an early adult, and she already is making the math on Elon Musk. She is making the math. Hey, this guy passes through women at a rate that I can slip in. I can make my way into this channel. And presumably, back then, she is raising the very young newborn that she has with another man and that she will eventually divorce. So there she is making the math, which she now says is a comment in jest. But you can't use the jest excuse. You can't use the jest excuse if you end up doing it. It's like, no, that doesn't work. It's in jest when you don't do it. But she's like, no, that was a comment in jest. Well, 5 years later, you were inseminated by the guy. There must be a path from which you end up causing this, from which you say, oh, the math works out. I could get a kid from him. And you do get that kid from him. Now, the one word that Elon Musk said in response to this is, wah, I got set up by a woman. Wah, this girl who I just made a baby with was eyeing me for a long time. Wah. Now, that is not necessarily negative. It could be a wah, like, wow, isn't that interesting how romance survives time and how love abolishes all obstacles, including the entropy of time. But Ashley St. Clair didn't take it well. She took the wah as, oh, I am buddy-buddy with Milo. Ah, isn't she a bitch? Isn't she a whore? And, oh, Milo is my harasser. And now Elon Musk, the father of my baby, is siding with my harasser. Look at her pissed off tweets, which she ended up deleting because probably Elon Musk then sent her a message saying, hey, delete these tweets. We're going to figure it out. We're going to have a deal. But don't bring drama on the public space like this. Ashley St. Clair, this is the deleted tweets. She says, it's interesting that Elon is responding to this clearly in jest screenshot that was discussed with his team months ago in a documented call. Now he decides to respond to it publicly from an account that posted underage photos of me, as if he wasn't asking me to have more children last week. I would like to take this offline for our child's sake, and I've been attempting to so for weeks. So what the fuck is this? I ended up concluding she's trying to build a case of abuse against Musk. She is trying to create a record of abuse. So now she's like, oh, well, Milo has published child porn of me. You hang out with Milo. Therefore, you are abusing me. You are hanging out with my child porn abuser. Because this connects to an old story that people are critical of Ashley St. Clair for being a conservative commentator while also being an ex-porn star. But to anyone whose name was Sexy Laptop, literally she was just a regular bitch on Twitter. A regular porn bitch. That is who Ashley St. Clair is. Sexy Laptop. Like, this was back in the days when laptop meant high technology. So Sexy Laptop was a decent name for a porn star. Now, she was there being a basic bitch on X with the hashtag, with the name Sexy Laptop, was saying how she wants to get fucked by big black dicks, and suddenly elevated herself as a conservative commentator. But to anyone who tries to prove this, to anyone who shows the pictures and who shows this happened, her excuse is, I was a child porn star. Her excuse is, hey, you can't publish these pictures of me, it's pedophilia. Because I wasn't 18 while I was being this porn star. Holy shit. And so it seems that she was just a voluntary teenage years prostitute of the internet. Okay, so, I mean, it's not because you do it at 17 that it doesn't question your moral sense. You're not suddenly irresponsible of anything that has happened before you're 18. And she added another tweet that was also deleted. For your information, the security team on Elon's own platform locked Milo. He is now responding to for a week. For posting a non-consensual underwear photo of me as a child. So that was her getting exposed for her porn star activity, which she says was underage. Okay. Another thing is her responding to the WA herself. Elon, we have been trying to communicate for the past several days, and you have not responded. When are you going to reply to us instead of publicly responding to smears from an individual who just posted photos of me in underwear at 15 years old? So again, she's there trying to create a record of abuse. This is her being coached by her lawyers to up the pressure on Musk to make it look like it could become a lawsuit. When she says, We have been trying to communicate with you. That's her and her lawyers. These people are trying to mount a cash case for Elon Musk to just pay, or for Elon Musk to feel forced to somehow give her more support than she should have to care for the child. And Elon Musk up to then had been silent, and he has still been silent. As far as we know, there was no publicity or there was no public acknowledgement by Elon Musk that discussions are ongoing, but she says that discussions were ongoing before this whole whirlwind that discussions were ongoing to negotiate on the co-parenting. So Elon Musk here maybe has decided that he wouldn't parent this child. Maybe Elon Musk is totally satisfied with the number of children that he's already parenting, and in which case, it's possible that Ashley Sinclair would find herself with nothing else than what Texas law can give her in child custody, and who knows what that amount will be, but it won't be enough to maintain her luxury lifestyle. It won't be enough to buy that $40,000 apartment in San Francisco. So it's, and then she claims, oh, I find it bizarre, his behavior of ignoring me while he was 1 week ago asking me to get another baby. So Elon is going for a re-insemination here. And when you have this kind of negotiation, the woman wants to withhold the next insemination, and the man wants the next insemination. And so it's all going to play out. Tomorrow morning, Ashley Sinclair could be either on the streets or pregnant with a second Elon baby. That is the current state of the negotiation. Describing her behavior and her deleted tweet, I stated, I've been thinking about it, and what Ashley was doing here was trying to create a record of abuse. This is what most women do in divorce. They try to frame a situation as abuse. Here she was trying to make the link, you laugh and hang out with my harassers who have previously abused me while I'm caring for our baby, which shows an emotional lack of sensitivity. This may be the smallest basis for a claim of abuse in human history. Literally a single smiley by Musk. That's why the whole contortion around the TOS theme. She's trying to create a record that somehow Elon should have known that Milo was an harasser of hers. Despite having seen the female mind again and again in these circumstances, I keep being baffled by the evil contortions they are capable of when they delude themselves into thinking they can go to war with a man. Elon has a long history of being able, somehow, to limit the damages by his exes. And it's a story that's worth exploring. Elon has four known baby mamas. It starts with Justin Wilson. Justin Wilson was the mother of all of his first children, which is a total of five children that are alive. One of them, Nevada Musk, their first child, died from sudden death infant syndrome, sudden infant death syndrome. So that was a depressing event at the start. Justin Wilson has been met by Elon in Canada at the college, and he was constantly courting her, and she was resisting his advance and saying, oh, I'm not ready. And he was offering her flowers and repeatedly saying, hey, we should hang out and we should be together. But eventually she regretted saying no to him, and eventually he came back with a repeat and she accepted him. It took apparently many months or maybe years. So they built a life together, and Elon Musk back then was programming his first internet successes, starting with Zip2 and eventually what became PayPal. And as he was growing into a multimillionaire and his companies were starting to be valued, Elon told Justin Wilson, who had then had a batch of successful children after Nevada Musk, had a batch of three and then two children through IVF. So Elon already was maxing out the babies he was producing back then, even if he was worth less than $20 million back then. He was already in high production mode, inseminating with multiple embryos produced through IVF, giving Justin Wilson a pregnancy of three babies at a time and then two babies in one shot. Which led to Kay, Saxon, Damien, Vivian, who became a transgender, and Griffin. So back then, Elon Musk was building this equity in big companies, and there was a worry by Musk that the fact that he was married or going to be married with Justine and having so many children with her, that this would dilute his wealth. And we've seen divorces with Jeff Bezos, that kind of stuff. These women really drag out 50% of your wealth. When you're a multi-billionaire, that matters a lot. And it matters a lot to these companies too, because it's like, hey, I haven't partnered with Justine Wilson. What happens if Justine Wilson suddenly owns PayPal? And Elon set up a meeting with Justine, with the lawyers of his company, and they pushed her into signing away her rights through a post-nup agreement. A post-nuptial agreement that was saying, basically, if there's a divorce, you're going to have the house, but that's all you're going to have, and you're not going to have any of the equity of Elon Musk. A beautiful move that back then Justine Wilson interpreted. She thought back then that, okay, it's what my husband demands, and so be it. What Justine Wilson loved about Elon Musk is that Elon Musk was attracted to her cognitive structure. Justine Wilson had a sexy allure, and she was used to men fawning over her beauty, but she was not used to what Elon Musk said to her, which was that she was a great writer and that, yeah, she should pursue her career as an author. And she did publish a couple of books during these years, but of course nothing that compares to the wealth that Elon Musk built. So Elon Musk had in his pocket this document that was protecting his companies and ultimately his massive wealth from a divorce. And there was starting to be tensions in the marriage. Elon was constantly traveling. And Elon, to him, what he wanted was to stay in that marriage, but that Justine stops complaining. Justine was constantly complaining. She wanted Elon to give up his effort in the economic sector and spend more time with her, and that their relationship goes back to what it was before, a relationship where Elon Musk was encouraging her to be an author and all. But from the perspective of a richer Elon Musk, her authorship, her work didn't matter anymore. She was unproductive. It's like, Any minute that Elon Musk would spend on encouraging her to work as an author versus what he could make in the private sector was ridiculously disbalanced. And so Elon eventually went to marriage counseling, and she was asking for more power in the relationship. She was asking for equality. She was asking for Elon's authority on her to diminish. She didn't want Elon to be alpha anymore. And that was her error. Because when you have a man of the value of Elon, really, you want him to guide you. Because it's like, no matter what you do, I mean, even if I was married to Elon, I would say, all right, Elon, you get control of everything economical, because I can't do better than you, you know? Papa JF's decisions, feelings don't matter because Mama Elon is more talented. But Justine Wilson didn't think like this. She thought too much of a feminist manner, which led them to couples counseling. But in the couples counseling, it became clear that Elon is basically saying to Justine, either you shut the fuck up and you stay in that cage, that this beautiful San Francisco house that I bought for you, and you stay there and be happy raising my kids, or I'm going to have to divorce you. And so Elon basically as kind of a philosophy of neutrality, which is like, even, okay, you don't love me anymore, all right. You want to do some outer work, all right. But I can't be in the house. I have to be out there. My career is growing. I have to do all of this so that we get richer. And she doubles down and she says, no, I don't want this. I want you to pay attention to me. I want you to lose time on me. And that was the conflict. And Elon says, either you accept the way it is as I set it up, either you accept my authority on the marriage or I divorce you. And she said she didn't answer. And the next day, Elon had filed the divorce paper. So basically, it was a problem of Elon was perceiving his own value as being too high for her, but he still wanted to offer her the out of saying, if you can stop trying to wreck my economic life and stop complaining, I'll leave you alone in our house and it's going to be fine. I'm going to stay in the marriage. But she didn't want that, so it led to the divorce. And then she discovered that what she had signed years ago was removing any rights for her to enrich herself from this divorce. So apparently she wasn't fully understanding it as it was happening. So as a result, there's a custody fight. I don't know the full details of it, but it would seem that Elon doesn't have much control over the children. The custody fight ends up finding at the tribunal level that the deal, the post-nup, is still legally valid. Now, she makes all sorts of claims with her lawyers that it was deceptive, that Elon hadn't shared all of the info about what she was signing. But in the end, the deal gets accepted officially. But we find ourselves with five children here where Elon isn't fully satisfied because they are his genetic products. But the conflict has led to a custody proceeding. It doesn't give him enough access to his taste. So he doesn't have full control and influence up to the point where Vivian Musk ends up turning trans under the care of his mother. So Elon did what he had to do, which is dilute your descendants with other women. And now that you have secured your genetic line with a couple of safe children, with a safe bet, you can go full Grimes. You can literally just go with the craziest woman you can find. Naberius sends $25 as a super chat. Thank you so much. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. He says, another prediction that demonstrates the importance of evolutionary thinking in the political space. Most criticism of Ashley has been an appeal to conservative values, which is fine, but one, mistakenly catches Elon in its grip, and two, fails to show the true chicanery at work. Absolutely. My commentary on the Elon-Ashley thing is unique across the internet. Absolutely unique. There is no one out there that has got it right, in my view. They're all a little bit beside the track. Isn't it amazing? Because they don't understand the dynamic. Brett Weinstein was beside the track because he's thinking of why did Elon choose polygamy? But if you see the progression, it's not clear that he chose polygamy. It's more that there wasn't a woman who ever showed up to the standard that he was expecting. This is a constant disappointment for Elon, which is that none of the women that have showed up in his life have been the wholesome wife that he thought he deserved. And my girlfriend was asking me if she was the Siobhan Zillis or Ashley Sinclair to my Elon. And no, I say to my current girlfriend, you are a woman that Elon has constantly pursued as an ideal, but was never given by the universe. This is the great drama. Elon Musk didn't choose this life. Elon Musk was pushed into this life by, one, a wife that was producing the babies, but on other dimension of wifery was failing, was too feminist, was too self-oriented, was not in a mentality of service. Now, I get it. If your husband is a white trash in a trailer park and he does nothing of his life, I can understand that it's hard to be in a mentality of service for that kind of guy. But when you cut Elon Musk, when your husband is Elon Musk, how can you not be in a mentality of service? How can you not accept that you're not the alpha of this couple? How can you be there demanding equality to a man that you're obviously lucky to have had in your life? Frog Eyes says, wait, one of Elon's kids is named Lil X. That's like JF naming was of one of his kids Lil TRP. Yes, XAEAXII, Exadark Sidereal, Technomechanicus. So let's talk about this. Those are the three children. So one girl, two boys. Those are the three children that Elon Musk had with Grimes. So with Grimes, Elon Musk goes for an artistic mind. Again, we have the trace of Elon Musk's dating is very cognitively oriented. Elon Musk, when he interacts with a woman, he falls in love mostly with the cognitive structure. He notices the differences. He notices the neurocognitive divergence, the diversity, the differences, and he just likes non-normie woman. He likes a little bit of autism. He likes a little bit of craziness. He likes a little bit of creativity. And that's what he finds in Grimes. And Grimes goes same modus operandi. Grimes goes to Elon's house and is kind of in a co-living arrangement, but eventually discovers that she will get zero affection from Musk. Musk is constantly traveling, and eventually she goes out. So she goes out, but with a deal where Elon Musk appears to have much contacts with the children, including Lil X, which we see him regularly out there parading in public. Frog Eyes says, this is what peak male performance looks like. And then Elon Musk, seeing that Grimes is slightly detaching from him, but still is honoring their co-parenting deal in a way that's satisfying him. It satisfies him at the level of control, at the level of being a father, because he can make a special school, and he's been educating these children in a special school that he made himself. That's what he shared publicly. Now, eventually, we have Shivan Zillis. And see those crazy eyes? Those are not the crazy eyes of female obsession. Those are the crazy eyes of a postdoc autistic scientist, an engineer mind. Shivan Zillis gets hired at Neuralink. Neuralink is this ridiculous enterprise of Elon Musk that tries to plug the human brain to CPUs and chips, the problem being they're going to kill everyone with this. So it's like, you can't just interface metal and the brain and think that everything is going to be all right. So if you're a paraplegic, maybe it's going to have some use. Like if you lost total control of everything below your neck, maybe having a little brain interface will be good. But other than this, I see it as a very, very niche endeavor. Gusparovsky sends a super chat. Thank you so much for the support. He says, hi, JF. Do all of Elon's children are partially Jewish? Well, I don't know about Justine Wilson. It is not known that she is Jewish. Grimes is Jewish. She has said so on Twitter. I don't know for sure about Siobhan Zillis. I wouldn't be surprised. She has the phenotype, but maybe she's not. Maybe she's more Middle Eastern, Arab. I don't know. Ashley Sinclair, definitely a super Jew, a super Zionist, to the point where it's not clear to me, has she been sent to get Elon on the Jewish side? It's not clear to me, but she's definitely an operative of this whole milieu of Babylon Bee, Mossad, and the fact that she's around now is bad news for everyone. I mean, anyways, going forward with the story, so Siobhan Zillis ends up Neuralink CEO and in parallel has an insemination deal with Elon Musk. And it's sometimes, like recently, Elon Musk brought her publicly to meet some Pakistan or Indian people. Anyways, whoever this was, she was there with the three children. So they have a co-parenting deal that is standing side by side with an employment deal. So basically, she is covered through the salary that she does and whatever support Musk is giving for the three children, Strider, Azur, and some other child. Now, Ashley Sinclair comes in. That was in from May 2023 to January 2024 was the Romans period. And eventually, January 2024, successful insemination, leading to a child in September 2024, 5 months ago, the secret love child, who Ashley Sinclair was having her pregnancy in secret, was that the child has never went out of the apartment because she has kept the child inside with the fear of being caught by paparazzis or something. So it is a very isolated life. So Ashley Sinclair was brewing female emotions of isolation, and that is what has led to the X explosion in this weekend, 2 days ago and yesterday. So, I mean, yes, a female is programmed to expect this is what I would tell to Elon Musk in terms of if you want to improve your insemination operation. A female is genetically programmed to go fucking psycho if you don't go back to the house. she is, especially in this case where definitely Ashley was attracted to you for your provider capacities. So if you let through your silence and through your absence, you let it build into herself, there is not a single female in the world who won't go psychotic. They will go full schizophrenia. And in a way, you're lucky that this has been kind of limited. It could have been so much more explosive. But she was driven crazy because there she is, feeding the child, caring for the child, but being imprisoned inside. If you want to improve the... if you want to improve the oiling here, Elon, you have to oil with a little visit once in a while so that she knows you still care, so that she knows you're still around. Now, I know that it must be hard to introduce in your schedule, but if you don't invest on that visit once a month, once every 2 months, if you don't respond to her emails, you're gonna get the X explosion that you just got. So we are now at a split of the timeline continuum. The what can happen? We are now in a breach of the space-time continuum. Either Elon Musk and Ashley Sinclair will get along and she will be inseminated with further children. Ashley Sinclair is currently between 26 and 31. Meanwhile, Elon Musk still has some potential of insemination on Grimes and certainly some potential of insemination on Siobhan Zillis. Given that Siobhan Zillis is probably very happy with her position, given that she's feeling rewarded by Elon because he's paying her salary and he's parading her around even while charming these other women. It seems that Siobhan Zillis could qualify for one or two more insemination. And Ashley St. Clair, believe it or not, I've done the math, but whatever the uncertainty around her age, she is still up for 9 babies with Elon Musk, because Elon Musk inseminates at 2 or 3 embryos per woman per shot. She is 26 to 31, so she still has an easily 3 shots of IVF for Elon Musk. So Ashley St. Clair could very well extend by 9 babies the positioning of Elon Musk in his line of descent. If I was her, this is what I would do. Instead of complaining on X, and instead of being known as the whore who got that single baby from Elon Musk and went and grabbed it and went and got Elon Musk in Auschwitz, why don't you become the best wife of Elon Musk? You can outdo all these women. Take 3 embryos per insemination. Do it for the next 3-4 years of your life. And you are the most important woman in Elon Musk's life. You're not going to attract his... Elon is too efficient. You're not going to attract his attention with trouble. You're not going to attract his attention with bringing your troubles publicly. So what is the one leverage you have on Elon Musk? He's totally autistic. He doesn't give a shit. And all of your trouble, that's all inefficiencies in his engineering mind. It's all engines of the rocket that are not properly working. Just tell Elon Musk that you want 3 babies now and that he has to give up his Doge stuff for 2 days to come and inseminate you with 3 IVF babies. This is what she should do. But of course, no one ever listens to me for the advice. Black Tie says, yes, the harem wives need to compete with each other. Exactly. Gusparovsky says, I, hypocrite, said that all of his offspring is at least 50% Jewish, Elon being 1/8 or something Jewish. I mean, it's hard to evaluate because Elon Musk, the father of Elon Musk, has said that he was 1/8 Jewish. He said, there's Jewish integration everywhere. I'm 1/8 Jewish. I'm not sure. I would like to see the test because people say that. When I was young, I was saying, I must be Native American partly because there was so much intermixing with the Native Americans. But it turns out, no, there wasn't as much, and it's very isolated in pockets. And turns out I'm a pure Christian descent from Europe. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, what do you think about, instead of a group, just having more children? We also focus on not only encouraging our children to have their own children at a young age, but provide the financial and home means to support the grandchildren. Absolutely. Well, that's my philosophy, and that's what I encourage everyone to do. Yes, definitely. Public speech is like 1% of it. 99% of it is the attitudes that we have in our families and how we raise children to build their life around the family rather than around the career or whatever. The reason the Elon Ashley story is so evocative is that it forces people to stare at the state of modern dating. In a monogamous world, there are close to no incels. When 12 baby mamas want to fuck the same guy, that's when 11 incels are created. I can assure you that Ashley has rejected 10s out of 10s. Intelligent and dedicated men so she could get that one fatherless baby. I don't blame Elon at all. I have as many baby mamas as he does. As a male, all you can do is play your best game with the cards you're dealt. But I do blame Ashley. The decision between a 10 out of 10 dedicated father that she could have easily had versus, no, that's not enough for me. I want Elon Musk at major cost to society and to my future son, who will at best benefit from 1/12th of a father. That decision right there is what breaks monogamy, and it's entirely on Ashley. And in fact, I got vindicated on this because we're learning that she has accepted contractually with Elon Musk that this would be secret forever. Basically, Elon Musk sent her with the baby and said, go out there, raise him, and whatever happens. And we'll make deals about co-parenting maybe, but later. And he never answered yet. So, yes, the decision was on Ashley to accept this insemination. It's this female delusion that there's something to be maxed out in the gene selection phase at the cost of the parenting phase. And what's underneath that delusion is the myth of the disposable father. Down the line, that's the decision that breaks societies. Arguably, that decision alone leads to inconceivable amounts of war and famine, as the incels try to find something to do with their dead-end lives. Now, a lot of people are frustrated or misunderstand what I stand for in this text. They think that because a baby is always made by a male and a female, that the responsibility is both to the male and the female. But males and females are faced with a different game. That is what you need to understand. You can do something combined, but it doesn't have to be the case that the game is symmetric. And Elon, in this process, in this story that I just told, didn't have the choice of a stable, monogamous, productive life. He didn't have the choice because as soon as he marries someone, he loses half of his wealth. And there's dangers that his post-nup or prenup doesn't get accepted by the judge. And there's dangers that he loses half of his wealth. So he is stuck in a society that pushes him toward this direction. Now, what I say is we need to think about what causes this society. We need to redo the societal mechanism, not attribute the responsibility of decision making to the male, because the male has very little to do. I'm a guy who forever has been looking for a quality wife to live a stable, monogamous life. But I couldn't find this, and I got betrayed again and again by stupid hoes. What do you do in response to stupid hoes? Well, you can't let them sterilize you. Because if you let them sterilize you, if you let them get what they want, which is to extract your sperm for one or two babies, and then they run away and they start lying about you. If you let them do that, then the genes for monogamy disappear from society. What you have to do as a male, unfortunately, is fight polygamy with polygamy. And if you can understand that we can fight fire with fire, you should be able to understand that we can fight polygamy with polygamy. We fight polygamy with polygamy in that the woman from the past, we must leave her behind. And she has made her choice, and she has revealed that any contribution, any babies you've had with her are on the polygamous side. They are on the marriage breaking side. What you have to do in life as a male is pursue a hope that you will one day find a woman of quality. And once you found her, just inseminate as much as you can. Because you have to dilute the effect of all the other babies you've made with these lying hoes. So from the perspective of the male, that is the game. From the perspective of the female, she has a choice. Because the male will be generally honest about where he's headed with this relationship. Elon totally was honest with Ashley, told her, it's going to be a fatherless child, a secret child. We're not even going to ever say it once publicly. So she knew what she was going for. But she still went for it. And she, therefore, is solely responsible for the creation of a further polygamous situation for Elon Musk. Elon Musk is merely saying the offer. He's merely putting the offer out there. he's faced with the fact that he got trapped in a situation where there was no quality wife for him to have. And I am so thankful that, again, I'm more lucky than Elon Musk in my life. Because Elon, there are some shields around him. There are some boundaries around him. You will only attract these hoes because, of course, at this point, you're not going to have a reasonable monogamous woman who goes, hey, I want to fuck Elon Musk, given his whole history. But thankfully, somehow, there was not this aura of rejection around me, and I was able, at 40 years old, to attract a wonderful, intelligent, and stable girlfriend. Black Tie sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, if and when your oldest children want a relationship with you, will you bring them on the channel so we can meet them? It's a very tough question. Would I encourage this? Would that happen? I certainly wouldn't take commitments on this because the choice of public life is a thing, and I don't take this lightly. The only situation in which I would allow this is if they have decided on their own to make a public career. They have already become a public person. And then, so therefore, my interaction with them publicly would not further reveal stuff about them. But I would certainly not take it lightly to take a non-public child of mine and to start doing an interview just for you guys to have fun. Because being a public personality is forever. And you have to give up a lot of opportunities to do this. I wouldn't impose this on any children, except if they have imposed it already on themselves. Gus Parovsky says, when you don't care about money anymore, you still can show off with the number of Jewish offspring you got. So that's a comment on Elon, I guess. Frog Eyes says, I don't think kids should appear on the internet. I always think it's weird when Adam Green shows off his kids on stream. The private life should remain private. And this is where the Brett Weinstein commentary is not so far from what I believe, but at the same time, it is so unfit that I needed to comment about it today. Because he's critical of Musk, and his point is, oh, well, Musk is making all sorts of babies, okay, but is he really improving his evolutionary fitness? Haha. Because evolutionary fitness is different than birth rate, you know? And this is the kind of fucking, how do you call these hats? These Fedora tipping. It's evolutionary Fedora tipping, because to assume that each and every additive baby of Elon Musk is not gonna somehow increase these chances probabilistically of extending his decent forever is very delusional. It's because it's to think that there's something wrong about there being many Elon Musk babies in the world and that there is something that will come to catch them all in a net of unfitness. And the fact is that in a world where everyone, almost everyone survives and everyone gets the opportunity to be an adult, where there is very low child mortality, very low selection at the survival level, where death is a rare thing and it's something that happens post-reproduction. In that world, most likely every baby you make is certainly a good probability of leading to reproduction himself. DK Shadow says, I've experienced one of these Fedora tippers. They are annoying because they come with an invalid claim and it's technical and it's like, you haven't considered. Like I was arguing with an evolutionary guy and he was like, well, your stuff assumes that there will be no event of selection that abolishes one third of the population. And it's like, yeah, I assume this. Can we do some thinking? And it, because even if there was this massive meteorite that kills one third of the population, you'd still have better chances to escape that mass extinction event if you have some of your children in Thailand and some of your children there and some of your children there. Even under the most stringent circumstances, these people forget that the world is not super complex. The world is not an eye of Sauron that will find your babies and zap them with a laser. Most of the things in the world are just cheap, loose, noisy, untargeted risks. Most of the thing in the world are like this. Silver Spider says in a super chat, "Hey JF, I was dwelling on issues with my alcoholic parents and decided to do a Google search which displayed tons of Reddit results, majority of them being liberals seeing psychologists and complaining about their conservative parents. Is psychology totally leftist now and not helpful to real problems?" Absolutely. Psychology is not a solid science by any means, but even worse, it has converged towards some sort of Freudian, Marxist, really ideological program. And yes, a lot of these leftists are ultimately suffering from a mental disorder. The mental disorder of being intolerant to other beliefs. And leftist intolerance to conservatives is something. You can see it when you trigger them. You can see it when they are hateful and they are really put to discomfort by the existence of something different than their mind. And they can't wrap their mind around it and it breaks them. And yes, they go to the psychologist for this. There is nothing to be gained interacting with psychologists. They will. They can only mess with your life. Their procedures are not tested through true scientific means like medicines are. So you have to be extremely careful. There is no reason for anyone to ever go see a psychologist, period. If you need medication, go see a doctor. If you have a very special psychiatric situation and you need a psychiatrist, maybe. Even that is kind of on the dangerous side. But certainly, you don't need a psychologist for sure. Because the entirety of the practice of psychology is untested. So it's as good as having a friend, and you don't need friends. Doubting Thomas says, "JF, apparently David Woods, who makes Islam critical content and recently debated Robert Spencer on the historicity of Mohammed, was banned from entering the UK. Gone are the days when only identitarian speakers like Lauren Sutton get banned from countries for their public speech." Okay, sure. I expected this. Yeah, there's a bunch of people who are Islam critical and they're kind of hanging weirdly around the right wing, but they're not right wing. I don't know what is going on with these people. So my comment to Brett Weinstein was, I want to highlight this comment by Brett Weinstein because it illustrates something that I've been talking about for years. Should Jewish intellectuals be trusted with the moral signal of white civilization, particularly on matters that interfere with white breeding? Jordan Peterson recently mentioned that one would be stupid to second-guess Elon Musk on matters of rockets. How many rockets have you sent to Mars? He asked in jest. Arguably, however, Elon Musk is more of an expert in reproduction than he is on rockets, having birthed 13 kids that we know of, and perhaps many more. Elon Musk has achieved supra-exponential reproduction within his lifetime. From this perspective, Brett's intervention is as ridiculous as if he had come out with counseling to Elon about how to maneuver rockets. Brett has somewhere around 3 children, which keeps him just above genetic sustenance, if everything goes well. In broader terms, Brett is a Jew who breeds within a racially pure line of a people which has had the most difficulty at merely continuing to exist, let alone expand. If I was to highlight the parts of the world dominated by Jews, Christians, and Muslims, you would see only 2 colors, and you'd have to zoom in to find the miniature land that is Israel. This is partly why Jews cannot even be featured in population graphs of the kind illustrated above. There would be a flat line all at the bottom, currently representing only 0.2% of the global population. In short, listening to Jews on matters of civilizational and evolutionary maintenance is as ridiculous as listening to Inuits on matters of Amazonian jungle survivalism. They simply do not qualify to give advice. Consider this: if Elon and Brett were on an island, and each of their descendants followed their ancestors' behavior by producing the same number of babies as they did, it would take about 60 years of Elon's descendants to represent 95% of the population of the island. Within 10 generations, say about 250 years, Brett's descendants would represent less than 0.0001% of the population. This is a wider problem than the mere counseling of Brett to Elon. Jews have seemingly been incapable of retaining their disdain of white reproduction through their contributions to society. From academia, where women are sold the false dream of careerism and indefinite delaying of their reproduction, to mainstream media, which consistently advances anti-natalist talking points. There will be no solution to this but for white civilization to eventually acknowledge that Jews are incapable of teaching the lesson of reproduction, and it's probably because they never learned it themselves. Unfortunately, whenever someone tries to propose a solution, they get welcomed by a barrage of accusations stemming from the Jews' trauma with their Holocaust education. If one merely proposes that Jewish content should be labeled as such for people to be able to tell the intellectual ingredients of what they consume, they will frame it as oppression and bring back their trauma with respect to the Yellow Star label. But how else can we move on as a civilization? We have public intellectuals occupying the public signal in a matter that they are awfully unqualified to talk about. For now, it seems that the prudent thing to do is to educate the young generations to recognize the signs of Jewish antinatalism and to discard the advice as invalid. I found it totally ridiculous to see a Brett telling Elon how to reproduce. And, oh, Elon, you got it wrong. What the fuck do you know? Like, if you were some expert that has a demonstrated history of superior genetic fitness, but you don't. You are at the average. You are outcompeted comparatively by other people, other cultures, and there you are trying to put the brake on the natalism of Elon Musk on arguments that, by the way, are just pure mathematical constructs. It's like you'd have no data that suggests that Elon Musk's 13 children, that they will interfere with each other, that somehow the 13 children is benefiting from not enough care to lead to his own children. You have zero data about this. You have zero data about the shareability of Elon's parental contribution. You have no data on the zero-sum nature of Elon's capacity to care. And yet, there's these Brett puppets on Twitter that are now arguing with me, but it's like you have no data. You don't know that in the ecology of 2025, what Elon is doing is counterproductive. You're just you're affirming it, and you're affirming it in a way that seeks to continually do what Jews have been doing, which is slow down white reproduction. It's like, can you do anything else than this? And on top of it, Brett recently invited a trans on his show to talk about military oppression now that Trump is getting trans out of the military. And it's like, bro, we can't have you send those false signals behind the enemy, behind the friendly line. We can't be dependent on another soldier on our side who somehow wants to put makeup to look like another sex. We can't have blurry JF. Oh, it's because I didn't set my camera to... Okay. Now I'm not blurry. Yeah. So, Brett is, the mask is kind of falling on the far left, anti-natalism. And in a way, it's good because it will allow us to expose it. But it's very sad at the same time that this guy presents himself as a moderate. But what he always does as a moderate is frame the most far-left issues, like the inclusion of trans in the military, to a more moderate form. But what really is a demand of acceptance of deception. Because the trans thing is deception. I'm sorry. You are wearing the signs of another sex. If I was to dress as anything else than a woman, you would call it deception. If I was to find some way to make myself look like a black person, or maybe like a bird, or like a lion, that would be deception. I would be presenting a false image of me. And it's deception when you do it as a female. And it's possible for a corporation or for the army to decide, we're not going to allow you to deceive, actively deceive and actively proactively display an image of deception to the people on our side. Frog Eyes says, hey, JF, do you think birth control pill ruins a woman's fertility? My wife's friend has been trying to get pregnant for years, and even with IVF, it's failing. She spent 10 years on the pill. I'm convinced that must have fried her reproductive system. Was thinking of offering her my super sperm, though. Definitely, I think that we are barely knowing and understanding the damage that the birth pill is doing. So definitely, I would think that societally, we must address this. We must stop giving the birth pill so systematically. Now, I don't know, you know, in your specific case that you mentioned, could be something else too. Plenty of women will have the birth pill for 10 years and then still be fertile. Now, you have to open up the question of visually, does her sexual organ have anything? Does she have, dysfunctional ovaries, dysfunctional fallopian tube? Does the man have problems? Does he have sperm that have difficulty swimming? All of this must be studied and addressed. It's not necessarily the case that she got a problem because of the pill, but it could be also. I wish there would be much more research on this, but of course there won't. Of course there won't, because it's a very... Because the entire system of research is biased through this anti-natalist bias. It's sick. And I know there are doctors who disagree with this. I know there are doctors who understand that the making of a baby will be the most significant event of your life. And that, yeah, you'll be more happy with the baby. And you'll be more happy if you have two or three babies. And that the state of pregnancy is a healthy state for the woman's body to be in. But the research, the researchers and the funding is always headed toward the presumption that, oh yeah, we have to stop pregnancy. We have to research how to abortion. We have to research how abortion in New Jersey bisexual community is being affected by Trump. And it's always a leftist framing. And because of it, there are truths that we will never find. Tadam says, Elon's genetic interest is stasis. His dick is in every side, so he'd like it if people could just chill. Stasis is the worst outcome for people for whom the present is intolerable. It's for cowards tolerating and engineering our ugly present. I'm not sure I understand, Fadam. Maybe this was too deep for me. You'd have to explain to me, what do you mean? What is stasis? And why is Elon in stasis? I don't get it. Anyways, that is it for tonight, boys. Not much news that are interesting. Oh, yeah, some more plane crash. Delta Regional Jet crashes at Toronto Pearson Airport. Look at this. What the fuck is happening with our industry of flight? The bird flu says, I've seen this sourced multiple times. Yeah, I haven't done a full lit search on it, though. Much love, everyone, and I will see you all tomorrow.